those individuals like unto myself who inhabit a certain sphere of planes are as solid and as real as you. Our bodies are, to all outward appearances, exactly the same. Individuals have their own particular mental development, and therefore they are, shall we say, to a certain extent, limited, even as you are. But as the mind expands and grows and the outlook changes, so they themselves, in rather some, as you term time, many life here is a mental thing, but at the same time it is a reality. And the physical body, as you understand it, and we possess a counterpart of it, is as indeed real to us as yours is to you. Therefore, we can do, and do, many of the things which you associate with your world. There are those here who have the desire, shall we say, to become artists, who perhaps in your world had a natural ability but had no opportunity. Here they can, if they so wish, and many do, transmit that ability into something of practical nature. There are many who, of course, do decorate our hall and our temples and our homes and places such as you have on earth, which are used for various purposes. We have also those whose desire it is to design and to create, such as people whose task it is to design or create houses or buildings, and therefore they are, as it were, given the opportunity to become architects and designers. But all these things also are put into practice, as it were, in such a way that a person has many opportunities to experiment and to develop his or her talent. A person may, after a process of time, be so developed that it would be difficult for us to describe some aspects of his or her development or artistry or work. There are no limits set, whereas in your world, though perhaps you don't always realize it, there are limits as to what you can do or what you can conceive. But here, since we are not limited in the same sense, there are no limits set. So a man may design something which is so fantastic, perhaps from your point of view, that you couldn't comprehend it in its vastness. We also, of course, have nature as you understand it. That is, we have birds, flowers, trees, lakes, rivers, countryside, desert, all the various aspects of nature as you know it. Some plains, according to the condition, are not affected, shall we say, by inclement of weather, as you know it. It seems, this way I can describe it, is that the person who has lived, shall we say, a very material life and has little or no thought for anything else but that, finds himself, when he comes here, very materialistic, if you like, form of life. But that is exactly what he himself has created, inasmuch that his life has made it so for him. But there is, of course, possible chances of development and progression from that stage. There are so many spheres and so many different conditions within each sphere that it's practically impossible to only to give you the vaguest outline. You ask us what life is like here. This is an individual thing. It's not something that is collective. One can't speak of it in a collective sense. It is an individual thing according to the person and his outlook and his development or lack of it. There are those, for instance, on this side who, when on earth perhaps, were particularly brilliant in a certain field of work, were they can pursue that interest if they so wish. Of course, there are some aspects of your life which do not continue here. But I should imagine it would be very difficult for you to fully understand whatever I might try to convey in some respects. For instance, you take someone on your side who, shall we say, if you like, as an example, was a chimney sweep. Well, obviously, there are no chimneys and sweepers here. And yet, at the same time, we can have fireplaces and houses, and we can have fires, and we can have what to appears to be coal. I know to some people, yes, on your side, this will sound most fantastic and quite ridiculous. But what you must bear in mind is that when a person first comes here, we do everything in our power to make them feel happy and at home. And since the average person who comes has not made a great deal of spiritual advancement, his mind has not become, as it were, open to receive enlightenment, only that which comes from source, then that person is placed often in a condition which would be for them a form of heaven, if you like, or contentment. So they have often a condition set for them which is very like unto the condition they would have had upon earth. But that's only a temporary thing. In any case, it's only really in a sense a mental thing. It's real enough inasmuch as what they consider it necessary and essential to them, that it is so. But once they begin to develop and realize that they're only carrying on the same old idea, same old thought, or thought from us, then of course, until such time as they change the outlook, that will continue for them. And therefore, you do find on certain spheres reception stations, or places, if you like, of reception, where people are greeted by friends and loved ones who have gone home previously to them, and for a time they are housed, often in what you might term large buildings, not unlike in some respects hospitals, where sometimes they are rested and cared for until such time as they have left behind or got rid of all their material conception of life, till their mind has become adjusted and opened to a newer and greater and more expansive life which lies ahead of them. But of course there are many who, perhaps through the nature of their passing, are in a position to go straight to perhaps a small house which is being cared for them or made ready for them by someone that they've known and loved, and for a time they are quite happy and content, and they are allowed gradually to sort of develop and to open their mind and their consciousness to greater things. You see, a man is limited by his outlook, and you cannot change suddenly a person when they pass from your world into this. You cannot suddenly change that person into a highly developed soul or being. And since the average person is not highly developed, he finds himself a condition which it would be for him, a form or sense or condition of paradise. But since human beings are always striving, always wanting something else, not necessarily always striving for something better, but still, the point is that they're always fluctuating, always wanting some new experience or some other condition. They gradually begin to change, and we're able to help them. But always, it must come from the individual, the desire for enlightenment, the desire for help. That's why in your world, we cannot force any person to accept or believe this or anything until such time as their mind is open to receive. The same as the quotation which you know so well, do not cast your pearls before the swine. Perfectly true. There are thousands of people in your world who are not ready to receive enlightenment and knowledge, and it would be pointless to try and give it to them. Point is that one has to go gradually, step by step. All life is progress. Slow though it may be, slow though it may seem, it is nevertheless progress. It is true that some things you often do, what life is like. There are many conflicting, perhaps to your ears, things said to you. But you must remember that each individual who comes can only give you his own conception or condition of life as he knows it. He cannot tell you, for instance, about a life or an existence higher than his own. And although he may possibly be able to tell you of an existence lower than his own, a man can only give you what he has experienced himself. But there are many souls who return to you who pass through many phases of existence and can therefore give you experiences appertaining to various spheres according to their development through them. But the point is what you must always bear in mind, that there are always many, many souls of varying degree who come to you. And those who sometimes claim to know most, I will point out, often know least. You know, you must be careful. You must realize that there are souls who have not made much progression here, and yet we try to give the impression that they have. There are people who come to you who are very near the earth and who try, for various reasons, to explain things to you or to sometimes help you, often in a material sense, but who really need help themselves. I could go on and reiterate many instances. Often you have people return who appear to be of a very highly religious character. I am not decrying them, but I want you to bear in mind that sometimes those souls are very limited in themselves because of their narrow concept and outlook. Some of the most difficult cases we have to deal with are people who come here with what I suppose you loosely term a form of religious mania. I should imagine that in some cases they are the most difficult people to deal with, but they have really got a firm, fixed outlook that they have been what you commonly term saved, and that they really believe in some cases they are merely here for a stage of time of existence when they will return to earth, when the day, the latter day shall come, and they will inherit the earth and dwell upon it again in the kingdom of God. I also find that the very narrow religious people are by far and away the worst people, and I do ask you to be very careful as to what you accept from them, because their limitation is such that they cannot give you any real knowledge, any real help, any real enlightenment, because they are so confined in their own little world, which started when on earth. By all this, I do not mean, of course, to decry the teachings of Jesus, or that things that he taught were not good. We all know that his example was the highest the world has ever known, and if one were to follow him, then I'm convinced that great things could come into your world and great development could take place among mankind. But so many have confused the simple teachings of Jesus and his life and his mission and his work, and have made it so that he is often, you might say, placed in a false position. Jesus came to show man how to live, to point the way to heaven, point the way to development of the soul, and one could become, as it were, one with the Father in spirit and in truth. And yet, strangely enough, the concept that so many Christians have in your world is so material and so fantastically far from the original intention that Jesus tried to point, that if it were not very pathetic, it would be, well, almost laughable. God has created for all mankind a world for such beauty and such joy, but man has twisted it to his own design and distorted all that was good. In your world today, you see it in the material sense, but you also realize that the world of spirit is occupied by thousands and thousands of millions of souls of all nations and ages, all classes and creeds. And though many have, of course, made great progress, there are still quite a large number who live, who dwell in the lowest spheres near the earth, who live in their own state, which is not necessarily an unhappy one for them, but is a very narrow and very confined one. And since their condition is near to earth conditions, it is possible from time to time they might make contact with you. And I won't say exactly mislead you, because in many instances they're most sincere, but their limit, their knowledge is so limited and so often narrow. We who come, and I say this in all sincerity, to you, endeavoring to help you, to instruct you, to guide you, uplift you, inspire you, we come in humbleness because we know that we have much to learn, that we have progress though we may have, yet much more progress to make, and you will find a more highly developed, a more highly enlightened soul is, the more humble he becomes, because he realizes there's so much yet to learn, so much to do, so much to expand. We who come in love and in service to you, to help you, to inspire and to guide you. We come for various reasons as you go. I know it is important when you first enter into this truth to seek conviction, for without conviction the rest cannot follow. Therefore we endeavor to bring to you from time to time those near and dear to you, to give you the proofs that you seek and need. But realize that that is only the beginning. You who are seeking diligently, patiently, can be answered and be helped, and we should do all in our power for you. In this truth, you must be patient and be prepared to go quietly, step by step, realizing always that you are not alone, that we who come to you cannot and shall not fail you, for we realize that we have taken upon ourselves a work to do which is greater than ourselves. We are but servants as you are servants. We come to dwell and to work with you in brotherliness and in love, in humbleness and in sincerity, for we realize that we are all children on the path of progress. And as we become closer together and break down the barriers which pass.